Last August, Sonny Burgess died. He's an Arkansas legend, even if he's not exactly a household name in every household. He spent decades as a rockabilly star who achieved his biggest fame in and around the Arkansas Delta in the 1950s, and later in the 1980s in Europe as a rockabilly revival took hold. In his book, We Want a Boogie, The Rockabilly Roots of Sonny Burgess and the Pacers, Marvin Schwartz tells the story of how Sonny Burgess wowed audiences and maintained his Arkansas roots. Schwartz will discuss his book June 26th at the Fayetteville Public Library as part of the Summer Author Series at the library. Last week, we talked to him about the book. It not only chronicles Sonny Burgess's life and career, but also concentrates on the heydays of Newport, Arkansas, a river town that thrived in the first half of the century and was still an agricultural hub in the 50s, as it was also becoming a hotbed for music.
And there's a heritage there that really preceded and set up the heyday of the 1950s. People think of the Sun Records era and all the hep cats that came out of Sun Records, Elvis and Cash and Orbison and Jerry Lee and others. They came to Newport because the clubs there would pay them fairly well, pay them more than they could make in Memphis. The reason they came to there were big clubs in Newport was because the heritage of the river town had created a scenario where back in the steamboat era, back in the post-Civil War 1880s, there were gangs of men that worked the river, that cut the timber, that hauled the cotton. They would dock at Newport. They would come up these gangways up the muddy slopes and hit the bordellos and the houses of ill repute, which in that time was considered almost reputable. It's bragged about in the newspapers that how many of these houses there were along the river. So they played music. There were women of their trade there, and there were working men that came there. And then as the railroad came in, then circuses came in, and other forms of entertainers came in. So Newport always had a history of being a somewhat rambunctious river town. The big boom that brought Newport up to its height was World War II. And suddenly Newport was the host of the service industry to the military personnel. An air base was built east of town, and the town doubled in population from 4,000 to 8,000 people in a couple of years. So by 1942, 1944, the town was swarming with military personnel. There was an air base there, and these young men and all the support that provided them in this whole community, they were working. They had money in their pockets. They were what we would call our Top Gun pilots. They were flying an A-25, which was one of the fastest planes in the air in World War II, and these guys were looking for fun, and fun translating meaning women and music. And so the smart money in Newport began building clubs to accommodate these flyers. And these clubs were often on the outskirts of town, a little bit north or outside of the city limits, making enforcement a little more difficult. But clubs like the Silver Moon and clubs like Mike's Place and Bob King's Place in Swifton and Tuckerman were built because the military personnel wanted someplace to go to drink and to dance. Well, that's not all that happened at these clubs, because in the back rooms, they were gambling sites. And this was also extraordinarily well known and tolerated. There were some payoffs that allowed this to continue through the authorities. But these clubs now were generating a tremendous amount of activity. They had a place where you could drink and dance, and they had a place in the back rooms, and virtually all of them had a backroom gambling site. So they're generating a lot of money, and they could afford to bring in entertainers and pay them fairly well. So at the same time this is happening, in Memphis, Sam Phillips, an entrepreneur musical genius, is creating his studio, and he's putting on record the sounds and the voices of a whole new generation of black and white musical talent. These folks, mostly the white folks, of course, could come to Newport and play in the clubs that were flourishing there.
And a lot of these factors, if not all of them, kind of form into who Sonny Burgess would become. He came from a place, it was called Anderson, but the nickname was the Sand, right?
Correct, right. It was the bottom lands of the Black River. So fairly rich agricultural site, very good for melons and other crops that needed soft ground. Cotton requires a little firmer soil, a little drier soil. But his family raised cotton, but mostly they raised vegetables. But his future would have been in farming. He had a particular athletic ability. He had a chance to become a baseball player, and that was another way out of farming. But any way other than being a farmer was attractive to the young man at that time. So Sonny came from a very traditional home that was rooted in the ground.
I'm talking with Marvin Schwartz. He is the author of We Want a Boogie, The Rockabilly Roots of Sonny Burgess and the Pacers. He'll talk about this book and sign copies at the Fayetteville Public Library on June 26th. You mentioned baseball was a possible way out, but music was too. He's a graduate, 1948 graduate from high school, and as you mentioned, this confluence of all these things coming together, there were these great clubs. Sonny Burgess eventually, as we all know, turns to music.
Sonny was, I think, the prototype of this confluence. He's a man with one leg on the stage of music. He's a man with the other leg on the stage of the agriculture and the town history. And the two together produce this American archetype. So he's rooted in the land. He has the tradition of the worker, of the blue-collar family. No one in his family has gone to college. They listen to the radio. They listen to, this is a battery-powered radio, of course, no electricity in his childhood home. He listens to the Grand Ole Opry. He listens to the Louisiana Hayride. There are also traveling musicians from the Grand Ole Opry that come through these communities and play shows. And they play shows at theaters in town, and they play shows at these dirt floor stores out in the country, these little retail shops. And Sonny tells stories of seeing these musicians come through and going to these shows as a boy. So some of his uncles were attracted by this, and they played some music as well. Sonny listens to Hank Williams. He listens to some blues artists, some rhythm and blues artists, and he picks up the sense of playing music as fun, of course, as a teenager. So here's where another extraordinary confluence comes in. When the Rural Electric Association, REA, begins to bring electricity to the rural areas, there's electricity in Newport already since the 20s, but in the 40s, they're just bringing the electricity out to the country. REA has these information meetings to tell people what they can expect, what kind of appliances, what kind of safety issues, what the costs of having electricity in your home. At these meetings, they hire local bands to play for the crowds, to give people Coca-Colas and Hershey bars. And they hire young men, Sonny Burgess and his pals, to play for these audiences. That's where Sonny gets his first stage chops. He's playing for these REA rural informational meetings. And he's playing with a guy named Kern Kennedy, who he's been with, and then works with for the next 65 years, his piano player. Kern is from Tuckerman. And I have photos in the book of these two thin, scrawny, graceful, athletic young men. You could see they are products of the Depression era. They came of age during the 30s. You know, they're wiry, they're handsome young men, they're wearing short-sleeved white shirts. And they're playing in front of a room full of farmers and farmers' children, and they're out there in calico dresses and eating peanuts and Coca-Cola. And it must have been a beautiful evening or afternoon. So Sonny plays this music, and it's country music. It's and a little bit upbeat because he likes the sound of faster country music. And his first band that he forms when he's a young man, a 20-year-old, is called the Rocky Road Ramblers, and that's based on a Hank Williams sound and Hank Williams song. So this evolves, country music with the mixture of black blues and rhythm and blues, acoustic blues from the Mississippi side of the river, rhythm and blues from Chicago and points north, mixed with white country music, creating this hybrid music, this high energy music. It's impossible to sit still. We call it rockabilly.
There is a great story in the book. It's like something out of a movie. In fact, I think we've seen variations of this, where one of the most famous DJs at the time, Ralph Emery, is at one of the most influential radio stations at the time, WSM in Nashville, and Sonny Burgess comes in. He knocks on the door. The janitor lets him in. It just reads like, you know, this ultimate rock and roll fable. And this, too, has some sort of trajectory on Sonny Burgess's career.
Absolutely. You had to market yourself, because at that point, unless you were Elvis or Jerry Lee, Sam Phillips did not have the capital to back up and push you around the country. Sonny had been on tours with other Sun Record stars. They called them package tours. They'd have older players like Bob Wills and not Hank Williams, I can't recall some other names. Oh, Patsy Cline. People of his, before his generation, would be put on stage with the younger guys like Sonny, and they would travel the country. But the way you made your money in those days was by selling records. The shows were low cost and virtually for free. You made your success by selling records, the opposite of how the music industry is today. Today, the music's virtually free on the internet and elsewhere, and stars get their megabucks through ticketed shows. Back in the day, it was the opposite. So Sonny had to take his record, We Want a Boogie, Flipside, Redhead Woman, the first 45 out of Sun Records, and take it on the road. They took it everywhere they could, and they would just show up at radio stations and say, here's our record, can you play it? And sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't.
There is a chance that people listening to our conversation are very familiar with the names Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, others who were connected to Sun, and may not be as familiar with Sonny Burgess. He was one of the ones that didn't quite get the mega household fame that endured as some of those other superstars. But that is not to say his entertainment value and his songs were no less as great or interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I call Sonny, and I don't mean this in any detrimental way, a second-tier artist. Just as talented, just as dynamic, just as charismatic as the great names that we associate with that time, Elvis and Jerry Lee and Orbison and Cash, Sonny just didn't get the breaks. And we know that it takes more than talent to be a success in any performance industry. It takes luck, it takes timing, it takes connections. And a couple of things just didn't click for Sonny, despite the immense talent that he and his band had. Let me give you one example of that.
Okay.
45 RPM record has a song on it. It lasts for less than 3 minutes. Has to. That's the size of the record. You can't play more than 3 minutes of one song on one side of an RPM record, a 45. Sonny's group, the Pacers, would take that same song, We Want a Boogie, or Going Home, or A Redhead Woman, and play that song live in a dance hall for 45 minutes to 1 hour. The same song, never stopping. they would create a sense of hilarity by jumping off the stage with their guitars while they're playing, taking the bass out of the audience, spinning the bass, dancing with the women, putting women's bloomers on their heads. They had these stage acts they called the bug dance, where they would pretend they had a cockroach and they'd throw it on each other and they'd wiggle and jerk and jump around and throw it on each other. The audience would be pressing in, absolutely mesmerized with laughter. Then they'd throw the pretend bug out into the audience, and then the folks would be all wild up to act out in the same way. So they would create a dance hall presence that was legendary. You could not capture that on a record. Mm. And unfortunately, the record sales was what projected you to stardom.
You know, I once talked to Billy Lee Riley, who also had been connected to Sun and didn't hit the big time, though he had a couple of hits. And he admitted that for some amount of time, of course, he had this legendary feud with Sam Phillips, right. That he was bitter. Did you get the sense that Sonny Burgess, because he didn't hit that stratosphere that some other Sun artists had, was he ever bitter?
I detected no sense of that. Sonny was a remarkable personality. He seemed very comfortable in his own skin. When I met him, he was in his 70s. He was extraordinarily generous with me in terms of his memories, his introductions, his references to other people. He took time. We drove up and down Highway 67 numerous times. He introduced me to lots and lots of people. He was one of the guys that everybody seemed to like and admire. And there was a long period, quite honestly, when he was forgotten, when from 1965 till about 1985, he was working, and hard to imagine, but he was working as a salesman for a cloth store that sold bridal cloth. And he had he traveled the South. His son, John, told me when John was growing up, he didn't even know his father played guitar.
Oh, my.
So here's this immense talent who just accepts the fact, and I think this goes back to his farm roots. Farmers are remarkably stoic people. They will accept tragedy, disaster, success. You know, they can gamble. They like to gamble, but they're also very accepting. And Sonny was that way. He had some degrees of success. He has some exposure. And when it stopped working in 1965, when he pretty much had to give up music, that was what he had to do to support his family, and he did it with grace and with dignity. And then when circumstances came back in 1985, there he was, ready to go.
Marvin Schwartz is the author of We Want a Boogie, The Rockabilly Roots of Sonny Burgess and the Pacers. He'll discuss the book at the Fayetteville Public Library June 26th at 6 p.m. We have links to more information about the author and that event at the library at OzarksAtLarge.com.